My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Joined by my colleague and friend, Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. And we're very pleased to welcome Bridget Toomey for the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy, watching Yemen. The headlines from Israel, and this continues to change over these last hours. IDF completely disables, that's in quotes, Houthi-controlled Sana'a airport and strikes on Yemen. Fighter jets also target power stations, cement factory. 2 days after the missile fired by Iran-backed group hit Ben-Gurion Airport. What we're looking at here is a burning city, and we can presume the lights are out. The power stations are down. Bridget, a very good evening to you. Thank you for this. Since last we talked, there have been a series of airstrikes by different nations, perhaps, but certainly by the Israelis on Yemen. We'll begin with, in order of chronological order, the strike on the port, which I believe happened some 12 hours ago, following our initial conversation about what is to be done. And now we have the strike at the Sana'a airport. There's no indication that this is the end of the air campaign. What did they hit 12 hours ago, the port, and how did they hit it? What was different? This is the IAF. Good day to you, Bridget.
Good evening, John. So yesterday, the Israeli Air Force hit Hodeidah Port, which is a central port in the, you know, the Houthi-controlled part of Yemen on the Red Sea, through which major economic lifeline for the Houthi-controlled regime. And that's what the Israelis were going after. They were going after this big economic asset, also highlighting that a lot of illicit weapons are smuggled into the Houthis through Hodeidah. Hodeidah has been hit before by U.S. forces. I believe in 2024, it was hit by Israeli forces, but it maintains some operational capacity. It's uncertain exactly how much it's been decimated yesterday, but it was largely destroyed. Yesterday, the Israeli forces also hit a cement factory in the Hodeidah governorate region. This cement factory is controlled by the Houthis, and it's been used to produce some military infrastructure. The Houthis have buried a lot of their military assets, and it provides the cement for that and other military functions that they need the factory for.
Those are the tunnels. That's what you're talking about, right? That's what the cement's for? Similar to what we found in Gaza. So they built underground tunnels for equipment and for people, both?
I think the underground tunnels serve, you know, whatever purpose that they need. The Houthis function a little, you know, they have a lot of rural or mountainous territory. So their main concern when burying infrastructure is to protect it from airstrikes.
Good. Please continue.
A little different from Hamas in Gaza, which is tunneling under urban infrastructure. But.
So to what measure do you make the IAF hit on the port facility? 100% destroyed, 50%? Is it different? They've hit that before. Is it different than when they hit it before?
It does look to be a little different than they've hit it before. I heard it might be upwards of 50 bombs that were dropped on it. It would be nearing 100% destroyed, if not completely destroyed. Some of the Houthi infrastructure, though, is quick to recover. It's small. Some things are mobile. We're seeing this in the Ras Issa oil terminal. They have offloading and storage facilities that they can move and quickly relocate. So it would be difficult to permanently, you know, disable any naval assets, but Hodeida Port has really been hit very hard.
Bill, you have a question before we move to the strike in Sana'a. You have a question on hitting the port.
Yes. Well, it's a more general question. The U.S. seems to be focusing primarily on the Houthis' military capabilities, while the Israelis seem to be less concerned about hitting targets that have a civilian application, such as the ports or the airport, power stations. Would you agree with that assessment? And if that's true, could you explain why this is the case?
So that's certainly what we've seen Israel hitting in the past couple of days. The U.S. in their ongoing operation has targeted a handful of these, you know, they're really kind of dual use civilian infrastructure, military assets. The U.S. military has focused largely on military targets, but we've seen some factories be hit by CENTCOM forces. The Houthis really control the entire economy in North Yemen, and they use any quote unquote civilian economic asset to their military need, however they might be able to best employ that. So that's the rationale behind hitting these cement factories. Metal factories have been hit before. Is yes, these can serve a, you know, regular purpose, but the Houthis use them however they want.
What's your measure of the effectiveness of the U.S. strikes to date? I think we used the number 1,000. I don't know. They might be hitting some more. Has it been a successful air campaign? What does the U.S. make of? What does CENTCOM say?
So it has been over 1,000 airstrikes to date. CENTCOM says they have strongly degraded a lot of Houthi capabilities, which I think to some extent is true. The group is definitely in confusion. They have taken out many assets, many targets. CENTCOM hasn't released further details, but they say they've hit, killed leaders and hundreds of fighters. However, the Houthis are, it's, I think Bill's described it previously as like whack-a-mole. An air campaign will not be able to get every single Houthi fighter or every single Houthi missile hidden across northern Yemen. And so long as they have a few guys and a couple weapons, they're going to keep firing away.
Bill, you have a question.
Yes. This might be a little before your time, Bridget, but during the first Gulf War, Saddam Hussein was able to launch ballistic missiles at U.S. Forces in the Middle East, as well as at Israel, for quite some time, even while the U.S. was conducting an air campaign and even had boots on the ground with special operations forces hunting those Scuds. The only thing that stopped these missiles from being launched was putting actual significant boots on the ground. Do you think the U.S. is going to come to this realization that the Houthis, as you had just mentioned, will still be able to fire off missiles up until their military is fully dismantled and there may actually need to be some boots on the ground to destroy these weapon systems?
I think U.S. forces do realize that. There have been reports that Yemenis are discussing ground operation plans. However, Yemen forces need international support to successfully dislodge the Houthis. And I'm not certain that the potential international backers being Saudi Arabia, United Arab Emirates, and potentially the United States have agreed on a course of action there.
Before we move to Sana'a, is there information about the population that is not in war fighting? Is there famine? Is there starvation? Are there shortages of medicines? Certainly, in a bombed-out region like this, there'd be people who are refugees. What do we know about them, Bridget?
So Yemen's had a huge refugee food crisis for years now. The airstrikes they've been targeted and intended to limit civilian impact. Unfortunately, the United Nations has not been able to continue activity the way it would like to serve the northern Yemeni population. However, some of that activity had to be suspended even prior to this U.S. operation because the Houthis really aren't interested in helping the Yemeni people. The Houthis routinely detain aid workers. They exploit aid for profit. So this has been a difficult environment to help the Yemeni people in long before the U.S. began the operation.
So the famine is on then. That's a fair generalization.
I'm not sure on the technicalities. I know famine is a very specifically defined thing. They certainly have food insecurity and food problems in northern Yemen, but I'm not sure quite what.
Let's turn to the strikes today. Now, we know very little because this is just now, the reporting is within hours old, but we're looking at striking the capital city and wiping out the airport. The way it's presented is the airport is now useless. That means no flights going in or coming out. The power stations, two power stations reported hit, a cement factory. I'm unfamiliar. Has this airport ever been hit before in any of the campaigns, Israeli or U.S.?
Yes, this airport has been hit before. However, it previously was not completely destroyed or rendered inoperable, but now it is being reported to be inoperable. Yemeni airlines operating out of Sana'a have their main airline, Yemeni Airlines, has suspended all flights for the foreseeable future.
Well, the early report said they wiped out all the airplanes they could find on the field. Bill, you have a question.
Yeah, there was also reports that a cement factory was hit in north of Sana'a, as well as power stations. Is the intent for the cement factory, is that so that to limit the Houthi regime's ability to rebuild infrastructure such as tarmacs at the airport?
Yeah, I think that's definitely one of the considerations. This is another cement factory that the Houthis, can control. And so that would be employed for whatever their rebuilding, reconstituting efforts are.
What's CENTCOM said about this, if anything? Because, Bill, it'd be impossible to run an operation like this unless it was, what's that fancy word, deconflicting. Yes. And we could also measure the fact that the U.S. has eyes on Sana'a all the time. So do we have CENTCOM saying it was coordinated, CENTCOM saying we know nothing? What do we have out of them, Bridget?
U.S. officials speaking anonymously to news sources have said that there has been discussion and coordination around these attacks, though Israel has so far carried out the strikes in Hodeidah and the strikes in Sana'a alone. There were no U.S. is continuing its operation, but the U.S. did not participate in these strikes. And there have been rumors that the U.S. may have coordinated intelligence, but they're certainly in close discussion about all operations in Yemen.
Bill, is this a real war? Did they just start a bigger war?
It's a good question, John. I think that until we actually see American boots on the ground, that would be in my estimation, a real war, because the air campaign can always be easily dialed back. You can come back from that precipice. But once you get boots on the ground, the equation changes, the stakes rise, and it's difficult to pull troops from off the ground. And if things did not go your way, it's hard to claim success.
Well, they just put Sana'a back into the 18th century. So Sana'a, Bridget, because we don't know everything about what was struck right now, is there indication the campaign will continue? Any hint of that?
The Israeli forces have not, issued any statements that seem that they're at their conclusion, that they're saying that we've succeeded or achieved their objective. So I think that says the door's still open to them continuing airstrikes as they deem necessary.
Yeah, we await the firing of a hypersonic missile. We're speaking with Bridget Toomey of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy about the repeated airstrikes on Sana'a, the capital. This is a big, dense city. Yemen used to have 26 million people in it, so it's not a sparsely populated country, especially in large cities like Sana'a. It's early yet, so when we come back, we're going to ask Bridget about Iran, because that's been mentioned by the prime minister in these last days as the source of the threat to Israel and shipping in the Red Sea and the United States Navy. Bill Raggio, Senior Fellow, Foundation for Defense of Democracy. Bridget Toomey of FDD. I'm John Batchelor.
Hey guys, have you heard of Goldbelly? It's this amazing site where they ship the most iconic, famous foods from restaurants across the country, anywhere, nationwide. I've never found a more perfect gift than food. Gold Belly ships Chicago deep dish pizza, New York bagels, Maine lobster rolls, and even Ina Garten's famous cakes. So, if you're looking for a gift for the food lover in your life, head to goldbelly.com and get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's goldbelly.com, promo code GIFT.
Hey guys, finding the perfect gift for the food lover in your life is easy, thanks to Gold Belly. Gold Belly ships America's most iconic foods straight from world-famous restaurants right to your door. So if you want to treat someone to Joe's Stone Crab from Miami, Franklin Barbecue from Texas, or desserts from famous foodies like Ina Garten or Martha Stewart, Gold Belly has you covered with free shipping anywhere in the country. Just go to goldbelly.com and for a limited time, get 20% off your first order with promo code GIFT. That's promo code GIFT.